This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. I've got another 60 minutes of old-time radio for you this week, beginning with Theater 5. We'll hear their January 28th, 1965 episode, The Hostage. After that, it's The Whistler and Public Hero, their story from September 2nd, 1951.
Stop! Stop or I'll shoot!
Some deal. Lousy shot.
The next one won't miss!
Schwartz Delicatessen. That's as good a place as any.
Yes, I could help you. So what's the gun for?
For you, if you don't do like I say. You all alone here?
Yeah, take the money and go. You need it so bad.
Something is wrong, Sammy.
What?
That's just my wife in the back room. She wouldn't bother.
Tell her to come out here. Hey, you, out here now.
Who is speaking in such a... Sammy, a gun he's got.
There's a cop out there taking shots at me. He don't come in here after me, I don't shoot you. He comes in, I shoot. Okay?
Theater 5 presents The Hostage.
You, what's your name?
I am Mrs. Schwartz.
Okay, get over there by the front window. There in the corner where I can watch you. Oh. And then don't move. I'm telling you, don't move.
Like you says, Minnie, go in the corner. You shouldn't move.
Yeah, all right. Up closer to the window. Yeah, like that. Now you, Pop.
You could call me Sam.
Yeah, sure, Pop. You're going to stand in front of me, see? Like this, right in front of me. So if somebody puts a bullet in me, it's got to go through you first, okay?
By me, no, not okay. So, since you ask...
Don't get smart, Pop.
You don't want answers. You shouldn't ask questions.
All right, Pop, open the door. Just a crack so I can yell through. I don't get no stupid ideas.
Stupid, Sam Schwartz ain't.
Hey, you out there, copper. You hear me?
I hear you.
You see this guy I got with me?
Yeah, I see him.
His name is Sam Schwartz. He owns this dump. Now, you take one step, one lousy step toward me, and Sam Schwartz is a dead man. I got a gun right on the back of his head. Tell the guy, Pop.
Tell him what?
About the gun, stupid.
A gun he's got. The back of my head.
One lousy step and I blow his head off. You got that?
Now listen to me. Don't shoot that man. Put your hands up and come out here. All we've got on you now is armed robbery, a few years. You pull that trigger and you're a cinch for the chair. It'd be crazy to kill him.
Not to you, copper. All you gotta do is just keep away from me and save your sermons for Sunday. Stupid cop.
Bad manners you got, young man. If I had you for a son, God forbid, you'd hear from me.
What's your name, boy?
Ernie, if you want to know. Ernie Johnson.
Ernie Johnson. So now, what I wonder is, why does Ernie Johnson have to be a hoodlum? I mean, couldn't it be maybe Dr. Johnson? Couldn't it be Mr. Johnson, the big lawyer? Why, with a gun in his hand, should be Ernie Johnson?
Yeah, well, just don't you forget, I got a gun in my hand.
You're listening to the siren?
Yeah, I heard it.
What did you do, Ernie? Why is that man chasing you? Armed robbery, he said?
Yeah, armed robbery. I knocked off a liquor store.
You think it was worth all this?
You want to see something?
How much?
I don't know. I ain't had time to count. I figured can't miss $1,000 by much, though.
For $1,000, his soul.
You shot somebody?
No, I just took the dough and split. And pretty soon there was this cop on my tail yelling at me to stop or he was going to shoot. I don't know who put him on me. Yeah, here's something else, Pop. He did shoot. I ain't pulled a trigger on this thing once, but he took a shot at me.
Well, his duty he's got.
Ah, knock it off. I got a lot of thinking to do.
Well, while you're thinking, Ernie, think on this. You gotta let Minnie go.
Minnie? You mean Mom?
Don't call me Mom, if you would be so kind.
Nobody's going no place.
Ernie, you couldn't keep a lady like Mrs. Schwartz in the store here, pointing at her all the time with a gun. You couldn't do that.
Even if he's going to say yes, which you shouldn't put any money on it, you still couldn't make me go. Not without you.
So there you are, Pop.
Well, Your own business, maybe you know best, but to me, you ain't acting very smart about it.
I guess you'd handle it better.
I wouldn't be surprised. One thing for sure, I'd make the odds the best I could. You and that gun it is now against Minnie and me, like one against two. One with a gun, maybe, but one against two. All you got to do is send Minnie out, and it's all of a sudden, one against one.
Send her out to help the cops, huh?
So how's Minnie going to help the policeman outside? They'll give her maybe a gun she should shoot at you? She's going to tell them something they don't already know? How could she help?
It don't make no sense, that's all.
Well, now, let's talk on this for a minute. If it's making sense or not, let's say pretty soon now you begin to feel like having a canned beer or something.
All right, you talk me into it.
So, I am moving like this, slow as anything. I shouldn't make you nervous. Over by the refrigerator and... No, Minnie. No, no.
No, don't move. Nobody.
So who's moving?
What's that you got in your hand?
A bottle ketchup.
What are you going to do with it?
Well, now you're watching me again. Nothing.
She was going to throw it at me. She was.
So? Next time, how could you be sure she wouldn't?
Next time somebody gets shot. Both of you, maybe.
Or maybe you get a ketchup bottle over the head and come to on your way to jail. That's because you got two people to watch. Now, if you should send Minnie out by the street, then you got only one. It's a better deal.
So we're back on this Minnie. You should go outside again.
Please, Minnie. You know, you could get shot making with a ketchup bottle like that.
So for what else? You're giving away beer to hold uppers?
All I wanted was I should tell him it could happen. I didn't want you should show him.
Okay.
Okay, what?
Okay, she can go outside. What do you think? You think I want her sneaking around in here belting people over the head with ketchup bottles? You think I'm nuts or something?
In my opinion, Ernie, you have just finished making a very wise decision.
So now all you got to do is talk me into it.
You'll go, Minnie.
Now you listen to me, Sammy Schwartz. If you
don't
think
listen
I go...
to me, no listeners, Minnie, you'll go.
You go, okay? I made up my mind.
Whose side you going to be on, Sammy? His or mine?
You'll go.
Come over here, Pop. Slow and easy. In front of me like before. Now you over in the corner, Mommy. You'll make a move before I tell you when your boyfriend gets it right in the head. You got that? Okay, Pop, open the door like before.
You shouldn't do this to me, Sammy.
Hey, copper!
This is Lieutenant Donovan, Johnson. Are you ready to give yourself up?
How'd they get my name? No, I ain't. I got something I want to tell you.
You better play it smart and give yourself up, Johnson.
Turn blue. All I want from you is listen to what I got to say. I'm turning the old lady loose. You got that? I'm sending her out now, so don't start popping at her like a bunch of stupid cops. Okay, Mom, outside. Slow, like Pop said, so you don't make me nervous.
I do not wish to go outside.
You wish a bullet, and Pop said?
Okay. So I'll go.
Back up a little, Pop. That's nice. Now out the door, Mama. Take it easy.
Your mama, I'm not.
Shut the door, Pop.
So, now it's just you and me, Ernie.
Look, I gotta make a phone call. Where is it?
And back the counter on the wall by the cash register.
Now, you stand right where you are. You ain't gonna move a muscle while I'm on the phone, you hear?
I hear.
She ain't there. Hey, Karen? Yeah, I'm okay. So you heard on the radio. Now, look, you stay there. I want you to... I said I want you to stay where I can get hold of you in a hurry. So everybody ever pulled a job, took a chance. They ain't got me yet. No, Karen, you sit there with your hand on the lousy phone and you don't go nowhere. You hear from me. You got that? Okay. Stupid dame.
Well, like I was saying, we got the whole place to ourselves now.
So?
So, what happens if I just open the door and walk out?
You know what happens. You get a hole in the head.
You keep talking a hole in the head, Ernie, but I'm not so sure. It's a possibility you couldn't do it, you know that? To take money out of a liquor store, that's one thing. But to shoot a Sam Schwartz in the head, this is, again, something else. Maybe you could. Maybe you couldn't.
Well, you want to find out? Just take one step toward that door.
You sure you're okay, Mrs. Schwartz?
No, I am not okay, Lieutenant Donovan. Okay, I'm not going to be till you get my Sammy out from that store and take that young Ernie hoodlum away from here.
We're doing what we can, Mr. Schwartz. I mean, I don't think you want us to walk in there.
Sammy. Sammy!
Oh, okay, we'll have to go in now and see. Maybe it was your husband shot the other one, Mrs. Schwartz.
No. Guns up are angry people. So angry you couldn't make my Sammy in a million years.
Coppers.
We're coming in, Johnson.
Don't do it. The old guy's still okay. I fired over his head. A warning, like the cops do it.
Tell him, Pop.
It's all right. I ain't hurt. The shot over my head by the detergent shell.
If I have to do it again, though, that's the one. You remember that out there.
We can't let this go on much longer, Johnson. That's up to you, whether you want the chair or a short stretch for armed robbery.
Yeah.
Like it says, Ernie. You gotta decide.
Yeah, he's bluffing. You can't believe nothing those guys say. Hey, you know something? I'm hungry.
A healthy young animal. Every place but in the head.
All right, you can knock that off. Ain't nothing wrong in my head. Give me a sandwich and a can of beer.
A pleasure. What kind of sandwich?
Something fancy. You got turkey?
Today, no turkey.
Some delicatessen. All right, make it pastrami and cheese. And none of your lousy rat cheese. One of them French jobs or something, so long as it don't stink.
All right.
Pumpernickel.
Well, anyway, you know something about bread. Look, now, I gotta move around some while I'm fixing the sandwich, so you shouldn't get nervous with that gun.
You do your job, I'll do mine. You better make a two of them sandwiches, and I'll have the beer now.
A pleasure. In the back room, I got a glass. You shouldn't like to drink out of the can.
Yeah, and in the back room, you got a back door, too, I bet. Out of the can will be fine. Much obliged. Have one yourself. Live a little.
Today, I think better for me is a little seltzer, but thank you all the same.
So fix the sandwiches. You can have one, too, if you want, or yogurt or whatever. Only don't yak at me, will you? I got to think.
Yeah, that's something you're a little bit late with. The thinking. You like more stuff?
Huh? Okay.
Believe me, a better sandwich you wouldn't get at the Waldorf Astoria. You want to know something?
I'm thinking.
37 years I'm in the delicatessen business. Today is the first time I ever wished to be in something else. You know what today I'm wishing? Today, I'm wishing I owned instead a drugstore. So handy would be plenty arsenic for the sandwich.
No, just a little mustard.
And the bread, you want butter?
I'm thinking.
Here's your sandwiches. So eat. Two kinds of cheese, and one imported Swiss, and the other the best French camembert in the house. So eat. Mm.
Give me another beer, will you?
A pleasure. Here's your beer.
Thanks.
So, you got a plan from all your thinking?
Yeah, I got a plan. What do you think of that?
Look, I couldn't honestly wish you.
Lousy sandwiches, I'm full already. I ain't even finished one. I gotta make a phone call.
My telephone is yours.
Just don't get no stupid ideas. You're gonna stand like before, real still, so you don't make me nervous, okay?
Any way you say.
I think I got a way to get us both out of this. You and me both. What do you think of that?
In my opinion, very doubtful.
Stupid dame, so answer the phone, will you?
She's not so stupid, maybe she don't answer.
So I'll give her a couple of minutes. Don't worry. She's okay. She won't run out on me. Hey, look, you want that other sandwich? I sure ain't gonna need it.
Thank you, but no. Today I got a very poor appetite. Tell me, what kind of plan you got that could get us both out of trouble?
You'll find out when the time comes. You don't need to know now.
No matter. Tell me something. Your mother and father, they're living?
I guess so.
You guess so? You don't know?
I ain't seen my old lady since I was a kid. She took off with a truck driver she knew, my old man thinks. We never heard from her anyway. My old man's still alive, or he was last week. I don't see much of him either these days.
So what's he going to say he finds out about all this?
You mean when somebody finds him and sobers him up? I don't know. I expect he'll chew me out pretty good. Not about knocking off the liquor store. He won't mind about that. For getting caught at it. That's what he'll chew me out for. Stupid, he'll say. Yeah, I don't see yet what I've done wrong.
It's a terrible thing to come from such a home.
You don't have to lose no sleep over me. My old man's okay. He used to knock me around a little when I was a kid, but he's all right. We had some good times.
A shame, a shame.
Come on, knock it off, will you? I don't need no sermons. Anyway, I gotta try Karen again.
You know, the jails they got these days, it's not so bad from what I hear.
Oh, boy.
No, no, I mean that. Libraries with books, they're loaded. Movies, I hear. A movie every week. Tables for, what is that game, the little balls? Ping pong, baseball in season. Not a men's club you could do, boys.
Well, it's the first time in my life anybody ever tried to sell me going to jail.
Well, in ordinary circumstances, I wouldn't recommend it myself, but what you're mixed up in now, Ernie, these circumstances ain't ordinary at all.
I gotta make my call.
My telephone is yours.
Like I said before, no stupid ideas.
You finish with the beer, I'll throw the cans away.
You don't throw nothing away. Just stand where you are and don't make me nervous. She ain't there now. She's gonna hear from me good.
You know, also they teach you a trade these days. In jail, I mean. A good, honest trade.
Karen, where you been? Yeah, it was me on the phone a minute ago. Who else? Oh, well, you picked a great time for it. All right. Listen, will you? You got the heap ready? All right, so here's what you do. You get on the heap and you drive it down to Schwartz's Delicatessen. Now, hold on a sec. I'll get the address. What do you mean you got the address already? Oh, on the radio. No, the cops won't bother you. Listen, I got an old guy here with me, Sam Schwartz. He owns a delicatessen. I already told the cops they make a move and I shoot this old guy. Look, stupid. Who killed somebody? I just said I would, that's all. All right, so can I finish? All right, you get on the heap and you drive on down here. I told you the cops won't bother you. I'll yell out the door and let them know you're coming. And they ain't to bother you unless they want a dead delicatessen owner on their hands. Yeah, so when you drive up in front of the joint, I come out with Pop and we both get in the heap and take off. You got that now? Don't ask me a lot of stupid questions. Just go. Start now. All right, I love you too, baby.
You think that's going to work, this plan you're telling her?
Well, why won't it? What can go wrong?
What's going to happen, for example? I should decide. I don't care to make the trip.
Oh, you ain't in no position to decide, Pop. Either you come along or you get a hole in the head.
Yeah, so now we're back to that. If there is in you whatever it takes, you should put a hole in Sam Schwartz's head.
You know what happened the last time we went into that?
Sure, you shot over my head and ruined $10 worth of detergent powder. So now, what we got to decide is, can you shoot at my head, not over it?
Don't take a chance, Pop.
Well, I'll tell you now, Ernie. I ain't going with you.
Come on, Pop, don't be stupid.
I'm going out by the door now, Ernie. If you let me go, the police will come in and get you. And if you don't let me go, you got to shoot me to stop me. Then they come in and get you anyways. Now, you want a couple years with time off for good behavior, or you want a chair? But that's all you got to decide, Ernie.
Pop, you stay away from that door.
No, Ernie. I'm going out now.
Oh, you stupid old... What'd you want to do that for?
On and on, things like this couldn't go, Ernie. Somebody had to make a decision.
All right, drop the gun. What? Put your hands up.
Sam, make it up. Why is he down like this, lying on the floor? Why don't he say something?
Here, let me have a look. I'm afraid he can't, Mrs. Schwartz. Not anymore.
Sammy.
What?
Sammy.
What is he? Some kind of a nut or something? He was just going on out like I didn't even have a gun.
That's right, some kind of nut.
Yeah.
Art Stone, get this man out of here. Put the cuffs on him. Take him uptown.
Yeah.
That's right. Some kind of nut.
Theater 5 has presented The Hostage, written by Fielden Farrington, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Jack Grimes, Jackson Beck, Ethel Everett, and Lon Clark. Audio engineers Neil Pultz and Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Laney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Ted Bell. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
And now, stay tuned for the mystery program that is unique among all mystery programs. Because even when you know who is guilty, you always receive a startling surprise at the final curtain. In the Signal Oil program, The Whistler. Signal, the famous Go-Farther gasoline, invites you to sit back and enjoy another strange story by The Whistler.
I am The Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now for the Signal Oil Company, The Whistler's strange story, Public Hero.
A few years ago, Cartwright Pictures had been a small independent movie studio. Today, it was a byword for quality production. Most observers agreed the studio's success was due to the ability of its attractive owner, Elaine Cartwright. Publicity cameraman Jeff Lambert was of a different opinion. He gave credit to his own talent. But lack of credit had not made Jeff bitter, for he was engaged to Elaine Cartwright, and once married, he was certain he'd gain control of the business. But now, like a bolt from the blue, a formal, tight letter from Elaine has changed the picture, hasn't it, Jeff? A letter which sends you hurrying across the lot to her office.
I don't get it, Elaine. Not too long ago, we were talking about getting married.
I know, but it wouldn't work, Jeff. Yesterday, I decided to end everything now, so I wrote to you. I thought that would be better for both of us.
Was that any reason to fire me without notice?
You're getting an extra month's pay, Jeff.
You've changed, Elaine. Ever since you met this big shot, Neil Reynolds, you've been different.
I expect I have.
All that stuff about loving me forever, that was a lot of hooey.
Not hooey, Jeff. I just know that if I married you, I'd be unhappy. I finally realized you'd never change.
What do you mean by that?
You're not in love with me. You're in love with Cartwright Productions and the half interest you thought you'd get after we were married.
Baby, you don't really believe that. How could you even think of... I know. It's Reynolds. He put this idea into your head, didn't he?
I'm going to marry Neil Reynolds.
Marry? When we're in love with one another?
You're too selfish to be in love with anyone, Jeff, except yourself. You proved that with Ann Mason.
What's Ann got to do
you
with...
You thought she was going to be a famous actress. Then when the studio dropped her option, you decided you couldn't be bothered.
That was different. I wasn't in love with Ann Mason. I am in love with you. And you're in love with me. You can't walk out on me, Elaine. You don't even want to.
But I do. And I am. We're finished.
No. We'll never be finished. Come here.
No, Jeff. Please, no. I don't.
Still insist everything is over?
Now, please, Jeff, I've made up my mind. You can't change it.
Okay, Elaine. Okay, if that's the way you want it. Only I have an idea you're going to be sorry and lonesome. When you are, give me a ring. We'll take up just where we left off.
You try to carry it off lightly, don't you, Jeff? With a gay remark. But inside, you're trembling. Because there's something in Elaine's tone. It isn't going to be easy, is it, Jeff, giving up Elaine? Not to mention the assured eventual partnership in the Cartwright Studios. But you've got to sit tight. Wait Elaine out. And part of doing that includes taking another job for a while. On one of the city papers as a news photographer. It's about a week later that you're having lunch in a small restaurant when you meet another old friend.
Well, well, well. So Elaine Cartwright finally caught up to our boy wonder.
Well, Anne Mason.
Yes, little Annie Mason. Still around. She's seen the papers, too.
Papers?
Mm-hmm. Read, sweet boy.
What? Neil Reynolds, youthful financial wizard, president of HR Mining Company, Reynolds Productions, Reynolds Construction Company. Reveals engagement to Elaine Cartwright, head of Cartwright Productions.
Kind of sudden, wasn't it, darling?
Not at all. No, I've known about it for some time.
Oh, don't kid me.
Enjoying yourself, aren't you?
No, I'm sorry for you. You know the way I feel about you.
That's all over, Anne. I told you months ago.
Well, that's what you said, but I don't believe it. I think you switched to Elaine for what you could get out of her. I should hate you for it, but I don't.
Well, you're wrong, Anne. I love Elaine.
Really? Then it's pretty much a one-sided affair, isn't it, darling?
Oh, skip it, will you? See you around, Anne. Right now I've got a date with a double scotch.
As you walk away from Anne Mason, you glance again at the headlines. Read the paragraphs underneath. Learn that Elaine is in San Francisco, where she'll stay at the home of Neil Reynolds' parents until the wedding, which is just 1 week off. But it's not going to take place if you can prevent it, is it, Jeff? Elaine is the only girl you ever really cared for. And you also want the things marriage to her would bring. You just can't believe she's really in love with Neil Reynolds and decide to see her once more. The next day, you leave for San Francisco by plane. Phone Elaine at the Reynolds residence. Hurry out to see her.
You shouldn't have come here, Jeff.
I had to, Elaine. When a guy loves a gal like I do, you...
What's the use of going over all that again?
Because I love you. Give me another chance, I'll prove it.
I told you, Jeff,
you don't have to make up your mind now, honey. Think it over, that's all I ask. Before it's too late.
I don't have to think it over, Jeff.
Still Neil Reynolds?
Yes.
But, Elaine, it's no good. You don't love him.
Neil knows I'm not in love with him in the sense I thought I was in love with you. I've told him all about us, everything.
Oh, you don't expect me to believe that.
Maybe you didn't hear Elaine, Lambert. She said she wanted you to leave.
Neil.
Hello, Reynolds. Glad to meet you. I have a couple of things I'd like to talk over with you.
There's nothing to talk over, Lambert.
I wouldn't be too sure. You're not married yet.
We will be. Very soon.
Maybe. Not if I can prevent it, however. You see, I happen to love Elaine.
Please, Jeff.
You also indicated that you'd enjoy going steady with the studio Miss Cartwright owns.
Oh, how crass. Okay, Reynolds. It's going to be an interesting war. Remember, all's fair, huh? I'll do anything I can to stop you from marrying Elaine. Anything.
If you're using this Labor Day weekend for a trip somewhere, here's a chance to have some extra fun making a little experiment. You've heard me say that Signal Ethyl is a real super fuel, scientifically engineered to bring out the best in any car of any age. Well, just to see for yourself how right Marvin Miller is about that, how about using nothing but Signal Ethyl for the rest of your holiday driving? Then notice three things. As you touch the starter, notice how quickly Signal Ethyl makes your motor spring to life. As you step on the gas, notice that peppy Signal Ethyl pickup. And as you soar up hills and down highways, notice that smooth, quiet Signal Ethyl power. Wonderful, isn't it? So good, in fact, that I'm going to make a little bet. As you head back home from a day of really happy driving, I'll bet your name will already be on the growing list of motorists who won't be satisfied with anything less than the premium grade of the famous Go Farther gasoline. Signal Ethyl, that is.
It seems terribly complete, doesn't it, Jeff? With Elaine Cartwright about to marry Neil Reynolds, your hopes to marry Elaine yourself and share ownership of her highly profitable picture studio seem destined to failure. There seems to be little left to do but leave and return to Los Angeles and forget the whole thing. You're preparing to check out of the hotel when a chance remark of a woman guest to the desk clerk arouses your interest.
Yes, Mr. Reynolds feels the only correct thing to do is postpone the wedding plans because of the accident.
Oh, I should think so. How many men were actually trapped?
14. My husband said it was one of the worst cave-ins he's seen.
Ah, terrible. Here's your key, Mrs. Bigelow. If there's anything you want set up, why... Oh, Mr. Lambert, something for you, sir?
I couldn't help overhearing. You were talking about the Neil Reynolds tunnel job, a cave-in of some kind?
Yes, seems there's been an accident.
Anything serious?
Yes, from what the lady's husband said. That's a big project, you know. Cuts right through mountainous rocks, and when you think of any part of a thing like that giving away...
Yeah, yeah, it could be rough.
It already is for 14 men. Mr. Reynolds hopes to get them out, but, well, you know how those things are. Oh, you checking out, sir?
No. No, I was, but I think maybe I'd better get up to that tunnel site.
Get some pictures, you mean, huh?
Yeah, get some pictures. I think that's a good idea.
For the moment, Elaine becomes secondary in your thoughts, doesn't she, Jeff? This trip to San Francisco has proved expensive, and a scoop on some news photos might prove profitable to you. You leave the hotel, rent a car, and drive rapidly north to the tunnel site. The scene is charged with a tense air of excitement, drama, because of the trapped men and the work being done to save them. It's slow, laborious work, and time is always against the workers in these situations. You move about the scene, getting pictures of the rescue workers, the derricks. And then as you pause to place a new plate in your camera...
Jeff, what are you doing here?
Huh? Oh, hello, Elaine.
I thought you'd gone back to Los Angeles.
Oh, I thought I'd stick around, take in the wedding. I understand it's been postponed.
Yes.
Makes the boyfriend look pretty noble, Elaine. Reynolds postpones own wedding to help workers he holds so dear, all that sort of thing.
I can assure you that Neil has no such thought.
Something wrong, Elaine?
No, no, it's all right.
What are you doing here, Lambert?
Taking pictures for my paper. You don't mind, do you?
Not if you stick to taking pictures. Stop annoying Elaine.
He isn't annoying me, Neil. What about the men? Are they still...
They're still inside. What happened, Reynolds? Mouth of the tunnel give way?
Yeah, that's about it. They're all right. We don't spend too much time getting it opened up again. I'm going to climb down the ravine here and see if it'd be easier to dig in from this side.
Neil, do you have to do it yourself?
We're all working at it. Now, you keep back from the edge here, Elaine. This granite can fool you.
Be careful.
Don't worry. With you waiting up here for me, I'll be back. Oh, and Lambert.
Yeah?
See that you confine your activities to photography.
By all means. Matter of fact, I'm going to follow you along a ways.
Yeah? Well... Watch your footing.
Yeah, I want a picture of the big boss giving his all for the boys.
Do what you like. Be careful not to get hurt.
The words are difficult to manage, aren't they, Jeff? Because your mind is on something else. Yes. The moment you and Neil Reynolds disappear over the edge of the gorge and start working your way down to the caved-in mouth of the tunnel... You know that you've been handed an unusual opportunity. You're both out of sight of the workers and the crowd on the other side. The rocks are loose, very loose. You let Neil get farther ahead of you. And then as he doubles back, you find him almost directly below you and a huge, precariously balanced boulder. You look around, and when you're sure you're out of sight, you lean against the boulder and push. Feel the loose granite beneath your feet give way. The boulder starts to roll under your weight. And then it falls.
Neil! well, Mr. Lambert, so you decided to wake up.
What happened? Where am I?
In the hospital.
Oh.
Oh, that was a very brave thing you did.
Huh?
Shouting out to Mr. Reynolds when that rock started to fall, then trying to keep it from hitting him by throwing yourself against it, risking your life to save his.
Oh. Reynolds, was he pretty badly...
Oh, no, he's perfectly fine. Heard you shout and leap clear. They finally got the men out of the tunnel, too. And you're right here in the papers with the rest of the heroes, Mr. Lambert. How does it feel?
Hmm? Oh, great, just great.
But of course it does. You're going to be all right yourself. No broken bones. The doctor just thought it best for you to remain here a day or so.
I see.
Now, if you feel up to it, there's someone waiting to talk to you. Miss Elaine Cartwright. Shall I tell her to come in? She's quite proud of what you did.
Really? Well, yeah. Yeah, show the lady in, nurse.
It's amazing, isn't it, Jeff? The way your sudden plan to destroy Neil Reynolds backfired. Everybody thinks that you tried to stop the boulder from falling to save Neil's life, particularly Elaine. You almost can't believe the change in her as she comes into the hospital room and sits beside you, looks at you as she talks.
It's made me realize, Jeff, that I've misjudged you pretty badly.
Forget it, Elaine.
No. You risked your own life saving Neil.
No, that's just for the news story. Simply did what any decent guy would do. Particularly a guy who, well, who's awfully interested in somebody's happiness.
I know, Jeff. I almost wish things could be different.
Isn't too late, Elaine.
Please, Jeff. Don't make me say anything right now. I'm mixed up.
I understand. Don't have to do or say anything definite, Elaine.
Thank you, Jeff. You're, well, pretty wonderful.
You're not so bad yourself.
Really quite a surprise you're inviting me to lunch today, Reynolds.
I wanted to discuss that interesting newspaper story about you, Lambert. They made you quite a hero.
Look, Reynolds, I don't expect anything for what I did.
I know, but I do. Here.
What?
Take a look at this.
Well, what is it?
I shouldn't think it'd be necessary to explain to you. Picture, Lambert. Another photographer snapped that. I thought it was so interesting, I bought it from him. For my private collection.
But what it shows...
It shows Mr. Jeff Lambert, public hero, leaning his shoulder against a rock and shoving hard. Just above the spot I was in at the time.
All right, so you know.
I know you tried to kill me. Yes.
You haven't done anything about it.
No, I haven't done anything about it. For the moment, I'm willing to let you remain a public hero. As to the future...
Yeah?
That's up to you. If you stay out of Elaine's life...
Has she seen this?
No, she still thinks you tried to save my life. And if you let her alone, she'll always think so.
Why all the nobility? If you showed her this,
she'd be finished with you, yes. But I'd never know for sure whether she married me because she thought you were a heel or because she thought I was the right guy for her. And that's the only way I want it, Lambert.
I see.
Oh, there's no use tearing that print up. I bought the plates, too. Incidentally, there's a couple of other shots even more interesting than this one.
You've thought this out all the way, haven't you?
All the way. Now you'd better start thinking things out.
Okay, so I promised to get lost. What then? Do you hand over those plates to me?
No. You'll have to show me you're going to behave, Lambert.
Oh, how? What can I do?
That's your problem. Think about it. Something will come to you. Meanwhile, stay away from Elaine.
Oh, sure, I'll do that.
Now, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Public Hero, I've some important things to attend to. Good afternoon.
Good
You watch him walk away, leave you, and you return to your hotel feeling as if the world is closing in around you. Until you catch sight of someone in the lobby. Someone who gets up quickly and hurries to your side.
Anne!
Hello, Jeff. Are you all right?
Well, why shouldn't I be?
Well, I heard the news broadcast, and they said you were in the hospital, but when I went there, they told me you were here.
No, I'm okay. It just shook me up a bit, that's all.
I drove up here the moment I heard. I'm registered here, too, Jeff. I've been waiting for you.
Well, you shouldn't have bothered, Anne. Things aren't any different. Wait, maybe they are. No. Annie.
Hmm?
Annie, you really do care for me, don't you?
You know that. Like I told you, I'm a one-man woman, Jeff. I know it's so good to know that you're all right and to see you.
Oh, Annie, you don't know how good it is to see you right now. Come on, honey, buy you a drink. Well, that's it, Anne. I realized it, lying there in the hospital. You're worth a dozen Elaine Cartwrights. I tried to call you last night to tell you.
But I was on my way up here.
I guess so. Nobody answered the phone. I was glad afterwards.
Glad? But I thought you
Anne,
said...
Anne, you won't want me after I tell you the truth about that accident. I'm no hero, Anne.
Of course you are.
No. No, that wasn't any accident out at the tunnel. I caused it all.
What?
You see, I tried to kill Neil Reynolds. Almost killed myself instead.
Oh, Jeff. Oh, you didn't. You couldn't.
It wasn't premeditated, just a sudden impulse. I'd give anything I've got if I hadn't done it. Oh, I guess it took her a shock like that to wake me up.
And you're really through with Elaine?
You're the only thing I want, Anne. The only thing I need. If you still want me.
I told you, darling. I'm a one-man woman.
Oh, Anne. Anne, we'll get out of here right away. Tonight. That is, if you'll drive down to Mexico with me, marry me, would you?
Oh, would I? Just try me, darling.
Good. You run on back to your room now and get a little rest. I've something to take care of.
Just don't let it hold us up, darling.
No, no. On the contrary, it'll speed us on our way. Neil Reynolds?
Yes?
It's Jeff Lambert. Look, will it convince you I'll stay away from Elaine if I tell you that I'm getting married tomorrow?
It might, if I heard it from the girl.
Okay, you can. Call her. She's here in the hotel, room 402, Miss Anne Mason.
Anne Mason, room 402.
Now, once you're convinced, what about those pictures and camera plates?
Send me your address after you're married. I'll mail them to you.
Okay, Reynolds, thanks.
It's only partly perfect, isn't it, Jeff? Because unless you can find some other way to get those camera plates, you'll have to go through with a marriage to Anne. It's getting dark when you check out of the hotel, meet Anne, toss your luggage into the back of her car, swing out of the city and wind your way along the lonely Skyline Drive, high over the sea.
Jeff?
Mm-hmm?
Neil Reynolds phoned me. I went to see him.
You went to see him?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you talk about?
Well, just us. Told him how long we've known each other. Well, he was so nice, I invited him down to have a drink with us, but he couldn't make it. He'll be busy tonight. But he was convinced that you are a nice guy.
How do you know?
Well, they gave me this package. That was a wedding present for you, Jeff. Made me promise not to give it to you until after we were married, though.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Annie, you're a great little convincer. You know what's in that package, Anne?
Well, I didn't ask.
Prints and camera plates proving that I tried to kill Reynolds out at the tunnel. And now we've got them.
I have them. Until we're married.
Well, but you're going to let me see them, aren't you? Just to be sure they're all there.
Oh, I don't suppose that could do any harm.
Oh.
What are we stopping for?
Oh, it's a nice view from here, Anne. Very nice, especially from where I sit looking down at these plates.
So that's it. Not giving them to you, Jeff.
What?
Hey, come back here. Now, give me those plates.
That's better. I'll take these prints along, too. Tear them up. Goodbye, Annie.
Please, Jeff, please. Oh, you can't be this low.
I'm not being low, baby. Just got some important things to attend to, alone. Don't worry about your car. I'm not stealing it. I'll leave it at the hotel garage in San Francisco.
But you can't leave me out here.
You're not stranded, baby. You can catch a bus a couple of blocks back. They run every 20 minutes. You're a good girl, Annie. You've put everything I need in the palm of my hand.
If, like most car owners, you're using this Labor Day holiday for a drive somewhere, you've been seeing a lot of signal service stations. So it occurred to me that you might like to know a little more about this friendly organization which brings you the Whistler. Well, first of all, signal products have always been sold through independently operated stations. The reason? Signal Oil Company believes that a man who has his own business just naturally takes a more personal interest in keeping you and your car happy. Secondly, because you want top quality products for your car, each individual signal station is backed by an organization which serves the many hundreds of signal dealers in 7 western states with facilities to bring you every latest advance in petroleum science. Obviously, drivers must like this combination of signals' personalized service plus fine quality signal products. When you consider how signal has grown and grown into an organization serving the entire West Coast from border to border. To see for yourself one of the good reasons for this increasing popularity, just try powering your car this weekend with Signal, the famous Go Farther gasoline.
The early morning was made more dreary by the thin layer of fog, the occasional screech of a gull moving effortlessly across the scene on the beach, the remains of an automobile which had plunged from the heights of Skyline Drive. The preliminary check had been made by the investigating officers of the Highway Patrol, the lone occupant identified, removed, and the officers were completing their report.
Well, Dave, hauling this wreck out of here is going to be quite a deal.
And just a waste of time, too. Beats me how fast some of these guys will drive on a mountain road, taking chances on smashing themselves to pieces.
Yeah, but this one was unusual. The doc says the guy in this car wasn't killed in the crash. He just knocked out. He was carrying some camera plates. They smashed up. Cut him pretty bad, and he bled to death during the night before we found him early this morning.
The guy was a cameraman?
Yeah. His name was in the papers the other day, Jeff Lambert.
Lambert? I read about him. He's quite a hero. Saved that big shot Neil Reynolds' life.
Mm-hmm. I hope when Neil Reynolds reads about it, it doesn't spoil his honeymoon. Reynolds and Elaine Cartwright flew to Phoenix last night. Got married.
Let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Sunday night at this same time. Signal Oil Company has asked me to remind you that this weekend's heavy homeward-bound Labor Day traffic makes it even more important to drive at sensible speeds, be courteous, and obey traffic regulations. It may save a life, possibly your own. Featured in tonight's story were Bill Foreman, Larry Dobkin, Virginia Gregg, Gigi Pearson, Stephen Chase, and Herbert Litton. The Whistler was produced and directed by George W. Allen. with story by Nancy Cleveland and Hazel Lytle. Music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. The Whistler is entirely fictional, and all characters portrayed on The Whistler are also fictional. Any similarity of names or resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Remember to tune in at the same time next Sunday, when the Signal Oil Company will bring you another strange story by The Whistler. Marvin Miller speaking for the Signal Oil Company. Stay tuned now for the Horace Height Show, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is the CBS Radio Network.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with more. In between now and then, you can find past episodes of this show, more from Theater 5, The Whistler, all the other podcasts, and our Shoutcast stream, all at relicradio.com. And if you enjoy it all, you can donate on the website as well. Thank you, as always, to those who have. It's how this is all made possible. And thank you very much for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.